It's always soccer in Philadelphia on a Thursday night in Fishtown. And while we are waiting for the Philadelphia Union to do something, to actually sign somebody or to... Well, that's not fair. They already made one sign. They signed Sergio Santos. But we're waiting for them to do more because they have multiple roster spots to fill. Figured I'd go a little bit of a different direction on this episode. Episode number 69, I think it is, of the podcast. We're going to... take it in a little bit of a different direction. We're going to put the Union on the back burner. And we're going to talk to my man, Abun Oloye from Live, Breathe Football. What is up, my man?
What's going on, Kevin?
How you been? Everything good? Yeah.
Good, man. Just busy, just living the life.
Yeah, you are living the life.
Building the dream.
So anybody who's familiar with Union-related anything, you probably know Live, Breathe Football as the lifestyle apparel company that's been operating out of this area for 9 years? Is that what
more
it
like
is now?
In full capacity.
But the ideas were incubating
When I was a college kid, long before that, yep.
So Abun, has been doing LBF for a long time now. It started, it's kind of interesting how you guys came up with, it's kind of concurrent with the Union being an expansion team coming along. So when the Union were probably, were really popular around 2011 or whatever, you guys were putting out your first batch of t-shirts.
Yep.
I remember going up and playing with you guys at Temple, crappy fields up there, felt like the old veteran stadium turf, it felt like you were going to do an ACL any minute. Now, I didn't know what kind of shoes to wear or whatever. Abun and I have played in probably every pickup game and every indoor game around here. Yeah. And I played on his CASA
league
team for a couple of years until I retired finally, cause I was getting old and slow and injury prone the last time. But I talked to, him and Dom every so often. And 2016 was the last time I caught up with you guys, and I did the story for Philly Voice. So I figured I'd get you on the podcast because you guys have had me on your podcast before.
Yeah, for sure.
So just catch me up, man. What is going on with LBF right now? How is 2018 for you guys? What's cooking? What's sort of on your radar right now?
Yeah, so 2018 was a pretty big year for us in terms of expansion. You know what I mean? We kind of have a stronger sense of our identity of what we're doing, what we have to offer for in the soccer lifestyle space. Mm-hmm. In general, we kind of kicked off 2018 doing a collaboration with Adidas at the United Soccer Coaches Convention. So they kind of hired us to do sort of design a space, curate the experience for people at the convention, which was really cool. Then we did a collection with Portland Thorns. So women's team was our first women's collection. So that was super cool. And that kind of has laid the foundation for 2019 to just really do more collaborations with teams.
Yeah.
Because, historically, that's been one of the things we wanted to do was let's work with soccer teams and bring really cool lifestyle apparel to soccer teams. Mm-hmm. Because when I first started the brand, I remember the Union had a t-shirt design competition. This might have been 2011 or something around there. The design I put ended up winning the competition. They sold it in a club shop at the stadium. And I was oh my God, this is awesome. I want to do more. And I remember the marketing person at the time was kind of we can't really do much. There was just so many restrictions to what was possible at that point. So the idea had always been there to kind of work with the professional team and kind of bring our aesthetic and our direction to apparel for teams. But kind of now with what we've done with the brand in different ways, it's those opportunities are coming up more.
So a couple different questions related to that. Number one, what was the connection? Because you did Kansas City first, and then you did Portland. What year was KC? Was that 2017? Okay, so you did Portland Thorns last year.
Yeah.
Number one, what made you want to do KC and Portland specifically? And take me through the process of how that works with the team, who you reach out to, how you secure this kind of deal, what goes into that. Because I'm sitting here thinking, MLS and NWSL teams have a uniform provider, a merchandise provider through the league will have a supplier or whatever. Every UFC fighter is wearing Reebok, obviously. So how does an independent company like LBF come into something like that?
Yeah, so the answer is just really organically. Right. Kind of that's just the way we've built the brand, just sort of building relationships with people and just sort of people like what we do. They love the fact that we're independent, that we're just hustling, we're grinding from building from the ground up. So the same thing with KC. Actually, KC happened because I wanted to do a collection with the Union. Right. Mm-hmm. And I remember KC around the time had they have something called Sporting Style, which is kind of like their independent sort of private label thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, how can they do that given the Adidas that the, deal the MLS has and all that stuff. Kind of
yeah.
stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was curious about that deal. So I was like, hey, if I can figure out how they did that, maybe that can be sort of my pitch to the union to be like, look, let's do something like this for Philly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Long story short, I ended up connecting with someone at KC, one of the decision makers, and he was like, honestly, like, I love LBF. We should just do it together. It's basically that. It was just yeah. that simple. So I flew out to San Francisco at the time for MLS All-Star when they played Arsenal.
Yeah, that was the first year of San Jose's new stadium.
Exactly. Yeah. So met up with him, had a great conversation. We realized we had a lot in common in terms of like what we like from apparel wise, style wise, the vision we have for sort of soccer retail and fashion.
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, let's just make the collection happen. So we spent about 14 months or so working on it.
Yeah.
Obviously MLS got involved, and then just from there, just kind of just snowballed. And then the Thorns, a good friend of mine, Kayla Knapp, you probably know Kayla through soccer mm-hmm. Twitter and all that.
Yeah, she used to be like with Fox Soccer and doing whatever now.
So yeah, so I met Kayla in 2012 when I visited LA for a Galaxy game with my sister. We met, became really good friends, and then just sort of one thing after another, she ended up at Portland, and then we kind of just kicked the idea around of like, yo.
So it's really, I mean, just like anything in life, it's about who you know, and it's about the right place at the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about networking. It's about opportunities. As Baxter chokes on something. You all right, man? But yeah, I mean, it's funny because all those, you see those relationships that you develop with people early on, you know, work in your favor down the road. The Portland thing was interesting to me, you know, because not a lot of it seems like, you know, Kansas City made sense. You know, MLS seems like a prime market for that kind of stuff. NWSL is kind of new territory, you know. So talk to me about that, because I found that to be interesting. You guys did the rain jacket for them. What stuff were you designing? Anything else specifically for them that was different from the KC collection? The KC collection was a long sleeve. There was a couple shirts in there, right?
Yeah. So KC was a hoodie, scarf, long sleeve shirt, short sleeve shirt, and like a sort of can't really call it a jersey, but like a long sleeve checkered shirt. And then Thorns was like the rain jacket, which obviously Portland rains a lot. That was kind of the real idea behind
that. Yeah, that was very on brand for that
right,
franchise.
And a sweatshirt, t-shirt, hat, scarf, that kind of thing. So like wanted to kind of keep it within like what people are familiar with in terms of like apparel from the team, but just kind of bring our flair and our style to it. So the KC collection and the Thorns collection were interesting because that was kind of the first time for us outside of Maestro where we really like did cut and sew, which is where we're manufacturing the products from scratch, right? So like we're making the fabrics ourselves, we're dyeing it ourselves, like all the design from start to finish is LBF, as opposed to before we're getting blank t-shirts and just kind of screen prints and kind of trying to make it our own thing. So it's kind of important to like have to bring that level of detail to the collections that we did with the teams, because it's like they have a strong fan base and the idea is like to really like connect with them in a way that's different from what an Adidas or any other you know, big brand can do.
For sure, for sure. You know, obviously, there's like a million. I have like 30 different questions about that. I'm trying to think about which one I want to ask first. You know, obviously, when you do a collection like KC or Portland or something like that, like in a niche, you know, a niche product like that, obviously, people in Portland are going to be like, "Wow, this is crazy." You know,
right.
I look at it and I say it's cool, but what's the interest for? Is do you see interest from like a non-Portland Thorns fan or like a non-KC fan or somebody from another part in the country who says, "Oh, that's a cool collaboration." That's like not my team necessarily,
right.
But what's the crossover interest between, you know, people from other clubs or other kinds of fans?
So there's a few different ways that like people respond to those collections, right? The fans of the teams, like they love it. I want that. I need it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea is they then become LBF customers, right? So a ton of people from the KC they go like, "Oh my God, I have to have this." They go on a website and they're like, "Oh wow, the Maestro pants are cool. Like this LBF jacket's cool," or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, they're like telling your friend like, "Oh, yo, these are the dudes from LBF. Remember they did that rain jacket from whatever the hell. Maybe I'll buy the, you know, IM Zlatan or whatever the hell."
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's the first person. The second person is sort of, you know, someone else that's a decision maker at another soccer club going, "Oh, we want that for our for our club.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Right? And that's mm-hmm. kind of the idea. It's like mm-hmm. people saw Sporting KC and go like, oh, we want that, right? And then like there becomes like a portfolio, so to speak, right, that people mm-hmm. have seen before, and then the idea starts resonating with them. And a third person is just someone that's just like, fuck it, that's cool. Like, I want that. You know, funny thing is, I was actually, funny story. So I was at MLS Cup in Atlanta last month, and I had on the Thorns rain jacket.
Oh, did you?
At the stadium. You know, it's black and red. I was like, trying to be incognito, right? And
but somebody picked you out.
Right. Some guy was like, he was following me. He was trying to figure out what I had on. But then at halftime, I'm talking to someone, funny enough, was the creative director of the Thorns Timbers, Alex, what's up? Just having a conversation about the collection, just different things. Mm-hmm. And this guy is sort of walking by the concourse and just sort of staring at my jacket for a really, really long time. And eventually he comes up and goes like, dude, I saw that jacket on Facebook. Like, I loved that. Like, yeah. I couldn't tell if it was a real jacket. Like, he just went crazy about the jacket. Mm-hmm. And he's not a Thorns fan or anything. He's just like a soccer fan that loves to wear something different.
That's right? Cool.
So you have those three different people.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where our brand lives. It's like, we're not really pigeonholing ourselves into sort of one box or another. Mm-hmm. It's just like, look, you know, when we did the I Am Zlatan shirt, people go like, oh, I don't really like Zlatan, or I don't really like Manchester United or whatever team mm-hmm. he played for at that time, but like I really, really love this shirt.
Yeah.
And the idea is trying to get people to kind of step outside of what they're comfortable with.
Well, it's just at the end of the day, it's about the brand in general.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Whether something specifically says this or that on it, you know, they associate that with quality for in one way or another.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
What was the market? What's the market like for women's apparel in the soccer space, or not necessarily women's apparel, but the Thorns being a women's team?
Right.
Was there any difference in that approach to doing the Portland thing versus the KC thing?
Not at all, honestly. I mean, I think in some senses, like, they were more or less the same, right?
Yeah.
In terms of like how people responded to the collection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the Thorns, when you have a little bit more freedom in terms of design, just because you're working directly with the team, as opposed to with KC, like, you have MLS in there, where like MLS has certain rules that they have to, that we have to abide by.
Yeah, it's like another intermediary between the two.
Right, know, exactly. Yeah. So, and both of them were really fun projects to work on, and, you know, with really great people. But as far as the women's apparel, you know, I think it's underserved, right? And that's one of the reasons we were really adamant about making the second collaboration we did with the women's team, because it's like, we're sort of that was us saying, look, we're going to take this seriously in 2019. Mm-hmm. At some point this year, we're going to release like an all women's collection.
Yeah.
Just because I think, you know, people tend to go like, oh, women don't really like soccer. I'm like, well, they're not really, no one's sort of really given.
Yeah. How do you really know unless that,
right,
that's really explored, you know?
Right.
My wife has asked me questions about that before, you know, cause we do apparel at Crossing Broad. I don't have mm-hmm. anything to do with it, you know, but for the most part, it's just t-shirts, you know, unisex t-shirts or whatever the hell. And it's something that the topic has come up, you know, like women's cut and stuff like that, or how many of the unisex items are going to women, female purchasers for them. How many are they purchasing for their husband?
Right.
How many are men purchasing for themselves? I just find that whole thing kind of interesting, but it does seem rather unexplored, maybe. Or it feels like there should be more data on that or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think it's more so just like, you know, a lot of the decision makers are men, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I think that's part of it as well.
Yeah.
You know, like for us, it's like, look, the way we look at it with not having a women's collection is we're missing out on half the population that could be potentially become LBF customers, right?
Yeah.
Like, young girls play soccer in droves. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. They look up to, they have really like strong role models to look up to. The women's national team is more successful than the men's national team. Like,
yeah,
so all those things are there.
It makes a lot of sense for getting in there, you know?
Right. And, you know, I never started LBF to just be like a menswear company. Mm-hmm. It's just meant to be a soccer company, right? And women play soccer as well. So for me, it's like, this year is like exploring what a women's collection looks like and really saying, you know what, like, in the way we've stepped out of the box and say, okay, we were making t-shirts, now let's make pants and jackets and performance stuff, like, or let's step out of our box even more and work with professional teams.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's make an all women's collection.
I remember when I was talking to you guys in like 2 years ago, well, it's 3 years ago now, but you guys kept kind of hammering that point home, you know, whereas like, I guess the catchphrase or the tagline or like the thing that I ended the story with or started the story with, I can't remember, but it was like, I remember you guys saying that it was more now than just t-shirts. You know, you guys right. didn't want to be a t-shirt company. You kept giving me words like form and function,
right,
and lifestyle and stuff like that. I'm not like saying it in a corny way, but it's like it makes a ton of sense because that's the evolution. You guys had always made that point from the beginning,
right,
that you always had wanted to do that, but the t-shirts was kind of like a starting point to figure right. out where you're going and what you're doing to get you to where you were.
Absolutely.
So Maestro, you guys were working on at the time, which was the pant and jacket kind of outdoor, kind of like for the pickup player, for the
yep.
Casa player, whatever yep. kind of thing. And that was a big deal for you guys because that was kind of the, I guess probably the first real foray into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? So
yeah.
So the results of that and how you guys look back at that and how that got you to where you are now.
Yeah. So my show was really a very important moment for the brand and the business. Because, you know, one of the reasons we launched on Kickstarter was, you know, we had built a good business selling, you know, $25, $30 t-shirts.
Yeah.
Right. And people know that, they know what to expect from LBF, right, when the new collection launches.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of $45, $50 sweaters, right? But then with the pants and jacket is, you know, we're having to go from manufacturing locally, right? We're sourcing, you know, the blanks or whatever from Northeast Philadelphia, shipping them to a, you know, printer in West Philly, right? Like sort of a very local operation to go on. Cause we want to make pants and jackets and, you know, working with factories overseas and learning an entirely new process, right? So for us, that was a challenge. But then also, like, you're making pants that cost $89 and a jacket that costs $120, and you just don't know if your current customers are going to take that jump with you.
Yeah, it's always
right?
a risk. Yeah.
It's always a risk, right? Yeah. So Kickstarter was a way to go, like, look, let's test this out. Let's see how people respond to this.
Yeah.
And the response was overwhelmingly positive. So
yeah.
we're like, okay, great. Like, people want this from us. Like, they would support this. And since then, like, there's been a sort of a slow transition to expand in Maestro.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's going to be, this year, it's going to end up being like 8 products in the Maestro line.
Oh, okay.
So it goes from pants, shorts, 3/4 pants, like different jackets for different occasions,
okay,
so
okay,
to the cool. different weather,
yeah.
Outerwear, it's gonna be like base layers and all that fun stuff. So really, like, yeah. building it out so you could, you know, if it's now that it's really, really cold out, like, you can't really wear just the Maestro pants because it's not
yeah.
built for that. But then you're gonna have yeah. a version that's like, okay, it's 30 degrees out, you can wear these versions,
sure,
this
yeah.
version out.
Yeah.
So it's really like looking at the pickup player, just someone who's dedicated to playing soccer in all mm-hmm. seasons, and seeing what their needs are and providing them products that work,
yeah.
whether it's in May or in, you know, in December.
Yeah, dude, this is such a time where I get like really itchy, you know, because it's like you're looking for a game.
Yeah, yeah.
That Friday night game at Starfinder is not there.
Yep.
You know, that Tuesday night that I've played with you, that mm-hmm. Tuesday night at the Northern Liberties Rec Center where I've hurt myself originally, where I had that stupid sports hernia where I was trying to play
That's
through that last
oh,
year.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you remember that? Because I was like always complaining all the time.
Yeah.
Remember when I was always fucking complaining that last season that we played? But yeah, I mean, so... Right, so Maestro, maybe that's not, you know, it's January, 17th right now. Maybe
right.
it doesn't work for that. Maybe March, April, when it's crappy and raining or whatever the hell.
Right.
It does feel like there's a market for that kind of stuff. So is that sort of the next evolution then, is you just want to kind of keep building on the evolution from t-shirts into those kinds of areas?
Yeah, because, you know, that's where we can really stand out and build a strong, in my opinion, a strong business on. You know, when I look at the sort of the soccer market in terms of apparel, footwear, everything like that, I don't really see like really quality, like performance inspired, but also has that lifestyle, like aesthetic. So I don't really see a lot of gear that's like really, or I don't really see anyone like committing to that. You know, Nike's got Nike FC. They've got some cool stuff. Adidas has Tango. Like, they've got some cool stuff. But like, for me, it's like, this is all we're going to do. Not all we're going to do, but like, that's going to be our really like our real bread and butter.
Yeah.
Because of just
yeah.
how strongly people responded to Maestro.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? It's you know, when I saw you guys doing your what's the word for it? Is it activation?
Yeah,
when you do your
yep.
activation at the coaches convention last year. You know, I see every coach from that's there is walking around in like the Adidas like
yes.
tracksuit.
That's how you know the convention is in town. Just like grown ass men, 50-year-old dudes in just like tiro pants and like songs. Like, they all have the same thing.
They all wear
and
the same
stadium jacket.
I know,
so, yeah.
And I'm like dude who went to high school in Berks County. Like, I have like 8 different pairs of Tims and nothing really else. I'm not fashion expert 101, but I'm like looking at these like coaches walking around. I'm like, dude, there's got to be like, there has to be a market for this. Like, I'm
yeah,
like, Aboon
yeah.
could probably do pretty well here, like exploring like
yeah.
you know, what is going on with these people. So I know you guys also just opened, is there a UK branch? So what's going on with that?
So it's basically just a UK. So there's a website. That's sort of like the front facing thing.
Yeah.
But basically we figured, you know, we have a decent amount of customers in the UK.
Yeah. And you were telling me the last time I talked to you that foreign shipping was a pain in the ass.
Yeah. So that was one of the biggest logistical challenges was with servicing like international customers, right? Where we were getting a ton of traffic, like a good percentage of our traffic was coming from overseas, especially the UK, France, Germany, and in Europe, more or less, right? And it just wasn't converting to those same percentages in sales. And I figured it was because you go, oh, you're a kid in London, you see the LBF pants, I want those, you add it to your cart, and you see shipping is like $20, right? And we had a decent amount of customers who would buy whatever we made and ship it for $15-$20, but then sometimes they'd still get hit with customs charges when they receive the packages.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
You know, a $30-$50 purchase becomes $100 or thereabout.
Yeah.
And not many people are going to do that. Only the really committed ones. So we figured, man, why not just like have a UK version of the site?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where if you come from anywhere in the EU, you get routed to the UK site.
Yeah.
And the product gets dispersed from the UK, so shipping times are a lot quicker. It's, you know, 1 to 2 day shipping for £5 versus $15 for and waiting for a week to get the product.
Well, I remember when you guys were saying that you had like customers in like 50 different countries or something like that.
Yeah.
Was the UK your primary non-American buyer base?
Yeah.
So that just made sense to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So, and so beyond United States, UK, where else are people buying from?
UK, Canada, Mexico.
Canada, Mexico.
Germany, and then France.
Okay, cool. You know, it's interesting because when, you know, I think of like a band who has like a couple good albums, right? And then they want to experiment a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you go to their concert and you expect them to just play the old shit, but the band is sick of playing the old stuff, so they just want to play like their new songs or whatever the hell. Do you ever have like the sense of like, you know, you want to do more like Maestro kind of stuff or like the Rain Jacket with the Thorns, but you know that you kind of got off the ground with the t-shirts. Is it hard to kind of reconcile those two kind of things or say, look, this is where our bread was buttered originally, we want to at least honor that and stay true to, and we want to keep doing t-shirts, but you know, we can also grow and do this stuff at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's a bit of both, right? So now it's just slowly transitioned the product density from being like heavily t-shirt based to be more heavily Maestro based. So we're not going to stop making the t-shirts and like the initial things. We're still going to make them. We're actually making them better now than we were before. Like the quality's a lot better.
Like there's still room for improvement and all that stuff too. Yeah.
It's just more so like focusing on this kind of really allows us to carve our niche in the market, right? Because there's a ton of, you know, ever since we started, when we started, there was like Bumpy Pitch and a couple other small brands doing like sort of the soccer lifestyle thing.
Yeah.
But since then, there's dozens. Like, it feels like every day on Instagram, there's like a new one popping up, right?
Yeah.
So it's like if everyone goes, oh, well, this is another t-shirt brand, I don't want LBF to kind of be grouped in that. It's like, look, we've been at this for a while now, and we're making products that like are really like takes a lot of investment, both from a product development standpoint and just like a manufacturing standpoint, to really stand out. And I think that's where we'll really like elevate the business to the next level, is really focused on products that we can own from start to finish.
If you were able to do something with a union, or you guys met up again and talked it over and you could do a collaboration with them, would you want to do it?
Absolutely. That's the home team.
Yeah.
And always will be, you know.
Is that the motivation for it? Like to do that collaboration with the hometown team, have that local kind of thing to it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like no matter how big we get, no matter if we have a UK business or we're in 50 plus countries or whatever, like this is still where we started. Like, you know, a huge percentage of our customers are still from the PA, like Philadelphia area. So it doesn't make sense to me to just be like, oh, well, you know, we're bigger than that now. Like, it's never going to be that.
Yeah.
It's always going to be like, look, this is where we started. This is our home. And like, you know, that collection would mean so much more than any other one we can do, just because it's like,
well, because it's like, I mean, you guys grew up here, and you know, like I remember when you guys were first coming up, like, you know how this city is. It's so parochial and so like old school to a fault. But the positive side of that is because people are so loyal that, you know, they
will support. Always,
you know, I make the joke on here before, it's like, you know, we all know somebody who's probably been like, vacationing at I don't know, like North Wildwood for like 40 years.
Yeah. I know plenty of like, people like that.
Where are you going this summer? Oh, we're going to Wildwood. Yep. No, same house that you went to for the last 30 years. Yeah, it's the same damn house.
Yeah.
But those are the people who, when they bought LBF 10 years ago, will buy LBF 10 years after it, you know?
Yeah. And we're very lucky in that sense where we have really loyal lifetime customers who just like, they see us make something new, they're buying it, they're supporting. Like, you know, I was on the phone with a guy earlier today and he's like, man, I'm really excited for you guys' growth. Like, I still have this shirt that I bought in 2011. I'm like, dude, like,
I have one upstairs that's like falling apart. I think I washed it so many times. It's just, I think it's a different color now, but I'm colorblind anyway, so I can't even really tell.
But like, you know, we have people that are really committed to the brand, and that speaks to just how loyal this city is. And it's like, you know, if we can get something done with the union, it would just be even more special.
2019, what do you want to accomplish? What's the goal and what's the biggest challenge for you guys right now?
You know, the challenge is growing, right? Like growing pains, you know what I mean? Like people think, oh, you guys are more successful now. You've got this collaboration and that collaboration. You have a UK business. I'm like, it's just more shit to do. And more shit to, you know what I mean? Like now that's it's more or less like running like two businesses than one, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I would say that's also like the biggest thing I'm looking forward to, but also the biggest challenge is like, how do you manage that growth?
Yeah.
And that expansion, and how do you kind of stay true to what you do and do that well without sort of like going too far away from what people trust and people expect from you.
Is it still cool when you see like, you know, Pato or some other dude wearing his shirt? Does that ever get old?
No, it can never get old. You know, it can never get old. You know, it was interesting. I was in, you know, I was in Europe last year, you know, sort of helping to like build a UK business and all that. And I'm going to Barcelona and Lisbon. And I just met so many awesome people. And like, just seeing how people even over there, like loved the brand was special.
That's cool,
like, and
yeah.
Like, oh man, I remember, like, you know, I met up with this guy. I was like, oh dude, I still have the one gray shirt from like 2012, whatever. I'm like, wow, like this is Barcelona, you know what I mean?
But it's cool, man. It's not like people like going out of their way to like blow sunshine up your ass either. Right. It's just like, hey, we know your stuff, we like it, man, which is cool. You know, people come up to you and they say, hey, I read that story you did. I'm like, oh shit, cool, man, I appreciate it.
Because they don't have to do that.
No, they don't.
And
they
that's
don't.
Why you know it's honest and like true and it's real. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And especially when I worked in the TV business, like behind the scenes, like nobody ever knew what show you produced. So the anchor would say, this house burned down and this guy got in an accident. Now let's go to the weather. All right, have a good night.
Right.
And then they would say, and at the end of the day, they'd be like, all right, Kevin, good show. You know, we'd all go home and that was it. You know, but it's cool to have, like, to be in a industry now where you can get that feedback from people. And it sort of, like, just keeps you on track, you know? It's like, hey, we know we're doing the right thing. People like it. It's cool. Hey, I'm motivated to keep doing it, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's what's important with, like, what you do with writing and what we do is, like, because it's almost like, you know, you write a story, you publish it, and it's going directly to readers, right? There's no filter in between, and there's no sort of middleman, right?
Yeah. Same thing with us. I don't need an anchor to read it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, we're direct to consumer as well. So, like, you know, it's good to hear from the people that you're writing for, that you're making stuff for, give you that feedback and be like, dude, like, that meant a lot to me. Or, like, I really love that article you wrote. Or, like, I really love this T-shirt that you made. And, like, because you know that feedback, that's where you spend so much time trying to perfect your craft.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the whole point of why you do it, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. Last word of Boone. Anything you want to say that I did not ask you? Now's the time.
Man,
Baxter, do you have anything you want to say?
Just want to.
We've been trying to get him.
He's tired, man.
To get him to talk on the podcast for like 60 some episodes. Now I always hold the microphone up to his face. He never
says anything.
He never makes a noise. Yeah, except for the choking that he was doing earlier. So,
what do I want to say? Yeah, just, you know, I'm really excited for this year. Just thanks to everyone who's listening, who's been supporting LBF from the beginning. It meant a lot. Just sort of helping us build that initial traction in the city was important. And then just like, just stay tuned. We've got a lot of really exciting things coming in terms of like more collaborations, both domestically and internationally. Just keeping the brand going and just like trying to take what we've done and built and sort of really make that even bigger. Like, it's not a story of like selling out. It's just like, we're just gonna keep.
It's like a positive form of attrition, isn't it?
You know,
you just keep one person at a time, one sale at a time, one collaboration at a time, and then one day you look down at your phone and you've got like a million contacts. in your phone, or you've got like pictures on Facebook from Barcelona or Lisbon or whatever. Shit, look at where I am, you know? So it's cool. It's cool to see, to kind of grow up with you guys and see where you started and see where you are now for sure. Abuno Aloye from Live Breathe Football, livebreathefootball.com. I have 5 or 6 pieces upstairs that I've probably worn into oblivion. I should probably replace at some point. Buy their stuff, check out their stuff. I'm not doing questions for this episode of the podcast because I did a Tansy Embraces podcast today. We did an hour on the Union, Ernst Tanner. Any topic that you could possibly think of that's Union related, we already talked about on that one. So I figured I would spare you from the double dip on here and just have a Boone come in and we could talk about LBF. But thanks for listening. As always, we are about 10 days, I think, from the first day of training camp. The Union still have 8 roster spots to fill, so there might be a more interesting version of Name That Trialist this year when we get to the Penn bubble. Or, well, I'm doing the Sixers, so, and DeGeorge and Tansy and not Zeitlin because he got a new job when Tannenwald gets here, so we will live vicariously through them. But until then, episode number 69, it's always soccer in Philadelphia. Boone, thanks for coming in, man.
Kev, thanks for having me, man.
All right, peace, everybody.
Peace.